Today we'll be looking at Jonah chapter 1. So I encourage you to turn there in your Bibles, and we're going to be looking at that together. And in this chapter, we see that Jonah heard the word of the Lord. He heard the call of God on his life, but he responded the complete wrong way. I'm just going to read through that chapter right now. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Let's pray together. Dear God, I just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the chance to just be here and bring your word, Lord. I pray that your spirit would be upon me as I'm preaching and bringing your word, that it would be your words, Lord, your word for this congregation and for me as well, God. Just so thankful for this day, for the chance we have to be here together and just be with all of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I love looking at the Old Testament, studying it, and seeing the attributes of God, and seeing pictures of Jesus in there as well. It can get ignored in churches at times, as we can focus on the New Testament. Now, the New Testament absolutely has so many beneficial truths that apply directly to our lives. But it is important to realize that the whole Bible is written by God for us to apply directly to each and every one of our lives. I really started to develop this passion for the Old Testament as I studied the Bible at Bible college. I saw so many places where Jesus was pointed or alluded to or prophesied about, and so many truths that we can take to apply directly to each and every one of our lives. I hope that we may see these truths as we examine this word today. This book of Jonah has challenged me so many times in many ways, and I pray it may be the same for all of us today. So the chapter starts out, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai." Our first character, Jonah. The name Jonah means dove, referring likely to the silliness or senselessness of the bird as they flutter about. The son of Amittai means son of my faithfulness. As we will see in the description of Jonah's life, it's certainly not Jonah who is faithful, but rather we see God's faithfulness in his life. We will see that this book of Jonah is ultimately about God and his attributes. It's so amazing to see in this first chapter of Jonah that God can use an unwilling prophet to work mightily for him. Think how much more God can use a willing servant for his name. Again, this is so much about God, not about Jonah. As God proves that he can work through any person to do his will and his work. We see in so many places in the Bible this taking place, that God uses people that we would not expect to further his kingdom. We see through a former persecutor of his church in Paul, through a deceiver in Jacob, a tax collector in Matthew, and an adulterer in David. And we can see modern day examples of this as well. I think of Lee Strobel, who wrote The Case for Christ, who is an atheist seeking to disprove God, but instead came up with this case for Christ, evidence of the existence of Christ in his life. God is in control over all people and all situations for his ultimate good. Now back to the chapter of Jonah here. In verse 2, the Lord tells him to arise, go to Nineveh, this great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. When Jonah hears this, he has no desire to call out against them, for he does not desire that they might be saved out of their sin. He saw this wicked Assyrian city and decided that they were getting what they deserved. Are there people in our lives that we might share this feeling about? Those who maybe we would not want to be saved, or that we would never want to share Christ with? We may pray for the Christians being persecuted. We may pray for the families of people who've been hurt or killed by others. And don't get me wrong, this is a good thing, absolutely. But do we ever pray for the people doing the persecuting? Do we pray for the terrorists, the murderers, or those who have wronged us? These Ninevites that we're talking about were part of the land of Assyria, who, according to David Anderson, were known for violence, terror, torture, killing conquered people, and pridefully carrying home parts of the enemy's leaders' bodies as souvenirs of war. These people were every bit as wicked or worse than the terrorists that we see today. Yet these were the people Jonah was called by God to minister to. It's certainly a difficult task, as it would be for any of us, and it's one that Jonah chooses not to accept. Instead, we see that he rose and to flee to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. He could try as he might to flee from the presence of the Lord, but we know that there is no escaping it. As we see in Psalm 139, it says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." We know we cannot flee from God's presence. Yet in the Bible we see many cases of people trying to as they were in sin. We see it right from the beginning. We see Adam and Eve fleeing from God in the garden after they knew they sinned against him. Then we see Cain hiding after killing his brother Abel. And then here we see Jonah running the opposite way of where God wanted him. Are there ways that we try to do the same? We do our sins in the dark, in the secret, in the quiet place. We distance ourselves from fellow Christians, from our family, friends, or church family when we know that we're living in sin. Or maybe it's simply denying God to our friends or coworkers, keeping him out of those places of our lives. This is certainly something I did throughout so much of my young life. I grew up in the church. I knew lots of things about God. But when I was with my friends, when I was at school, when I was playing sports, I totally avoided it. Never would admit it. Never want to talk about it. But even as I was unfaithful, even as I put God way on the back shelf, he was never far away. Again, it's not about me, it's about God. He was right there watching, waiting. And we see the same here in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah may try and try to flee from God's presence, but we know that that's ultimately impossible. And we see in verse 4 that God hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. This should have been something to get his attention, you would think. Jonah may have been unfaithful, unfaithful to God's call, but God was not about to give up on him. God is faithful, even when we are not. No matter how far Jonah tries to flee, no matter how far we may wander or backslide, God is there calling, beckoning, inviting us back to draw near and abide with him. With Jonah, it is more than a gentle whisper. It was a storm huge enough to make even these seasoned sailors freak out. So we see in verse 5 that the sailors are calling out to their gods, doing whatever they can to try and combat this storm. And of course, Jonah is doing the same. Well, actually, he's not. He had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. It's interesting that these sailors are crying out to their gods, but Jonah is silent, perhaps even hiding from God in the inside of the ship. When we are living disobediently to God, we can be hesitant to call out to him as well. We avoid his word. We avoid prayer. We avoid fellowship with other believers. Even when we are facing our biggest storms of life, we can be too proud to seek the Lord and instead try to face it by ourselves. We see, however, that eventually Jonah realizes that the storm is because of him and that he must give up his life for the others. As it says in verse 12, he said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." It's amazing to see how God uses this huge storm to take Jonah from acting completely selfishly, fleeing from God in his call, and instead he ends up acting completely selflessly, willing to give up his life for the other sailors, as we see Jesus do on a much grander scale. God did not give up on Jonah, and Jonah responds by giving up his life, acting as a picture of how Christ would act in the future, even as Jonah is unfaithful in so many other ways. But as John says in 1 John, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." In 1 John 3:16. We can act the same as Jonah, unfaithful in so many ways, but then in a certain situation, we can act as a picture of Jesus to a person. Maybe the only picture they will ever see, as we act selflessly, show the love of Christ and care for others' needs before our own. But we need to do this more and more, that being more Christ-like every day would be the goal for our life. We've already talked about the character of Jonah in this chapter, but the other characters that we see in this chapter are the sailors on the ship. These are the people that took Jonah along, knowing that he was fleeing from God. But they knew something was different about that day. As soon as they hit the water, they saw a storm more extreme than anything they had ever experienced. These sailors cry out to their gods. They throw their cargo overboard to try and save themselves. And we saw already many ways we can be like Jonah. And we can see similarities with how we are like the sailors as well. How we can act like them when we see the storms of our life. When we face these storms, our breakups, losing jobs, losing friends, facing deaths of loved ones, we call out to our own gods of self-help books, money, food, television, family, friends, anything to try and numb our pain. We cast aside our unnecessary cargo, our sins, our bad habits, and we try to save ourselves by our own morality. We try and try to turn things around ourselves, not realizing that God is right there beside us, waiting for us to call on him so he can carry us through and learn to rely on him even more. Sometimes it's true that a heart may need to be broken before it can truly be full, and we can learn to rely on God. I experienced this in my own life. 5 years ago, my dad passed away. It was absolutely the hardest situation of my life. I didn't know where to turn. And I could have turned away from God, tried to do things myself, but thankfully by God's grace, I chose to turn to God and his word. And that incredibly hard time absolutely shaped my life and taught me to turn to God first, above everything else, whether I'm facing the storms, the good times, or just everyday life. Of course, it's still a learning journey, but that is what led me eventually to be before you today. These sailors try everything that they can think of to save themselves. Then finally, they turn to this rogue, fugitive passenger stowed away in the inside of the ship to try to understand why this storm had come upon them. They ask, "Tell us, on whose account this evil has come upon us? What is your occupation and where do you come from? What is your country and of what people are you?" Jonah replies, "I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." So they realize it's because of Jonah that this terrible storm has come, and they see the power of God, as this storm that had come from Jonah's God was greater than any they had ever seen. They ask what to do. Jonah says they need to hurl him into the sea. He tells them what they need to do, but interestingly, they do not do it. Instead, it says that they rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not. We can act the same way. We know that we need to rely on God because every time we have, he comes through. Yet when we face struggles, we try to row to shore by ourselves. When we're facing those storms, we try to do it all on ourselves. But only after we fail and fail time again do we see that God is there with us, waiting for us to call on him. He's our comforter, and he always comes through. These sailors started out this chapter by calling out to their own gods. But in the end, they end up calling out to the one true God and obeying him. It says that they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. What an amazing picture that is. This tempest that was bigger than anybody had ever seen ceased from its raging at that moment he hit the water. And it says that these men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. These pagan sailors fear the Lord, meaning a reverent worship of him, and they offer sacrifices and vows to the Lord. Certainly a powerful turnaround from where they were at the start. God is sovereign. He is in control over all creation, all human beings, and all situations for his good. Using this unwilling, unfaithful prophet Jonah, God saves a literal boatload of people. God is awesome. Sovereign over these sailors' lives, faithful over Jonah's life, and he's certainly the same in our lives as well. Now, as we've talked about these characters of Jonah and sailors, they're certainly present in this chapter, but I would argue that the most present character is God. And we learn so much about him. We already saw God's faithfulness over Jonah, his sovereignty over these sailors' lives, and we see his compassion to Jonah and the sailors. None of them are living faithful to the Lord. Yet God seeks to call all of them to himself. His great love and compassion are for all people, not only the unwilling believer in Jonah, but also for the unbeliever, as we see in the sailors, and even the most wicked people of the earth, the Ninevites, who God had called Jonah to. We may never know the impact we have on others by our interactions with them. It doesn't have to be as extreme as Jonah's situation. It can be as simple as a smile, or showing love to another person in Christ's name, or sharing the gospel with them. It's simply being faithful to God's call on our lives, whoever, whenever, wherever, however. God's ways are higher than ours. As it says in Isaiah chapter 55, God says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We can see this in so many places in the Bible. I think of so many stories of people who we would not think the situations would work out for his ultimate good. We see it in the life of Joseph, sold as a slave, thrown into prison, yet he is raised up to be second in command of the entire country of Egypt. We see it in Daniel, who's thrown in the lion's den, yet it's used to bring so many of the people there to Christ, to faith in God. And then we see it in Paul, as he becomes a Christian. He becomes a missionary, and he's stoned, reviled, and thrown out of so many cities. Yet he's used for God's glory and purpose. We may not understand how God works. It's so crazy to think that he could use an unfaithful believer in Jonah to save these pagan sailors. But God is always faithful, even as we are unfaithful. I've seen this in my life so many times, but I remember it the most when I was in Mexico on a missions trip. I was so unfaithful in so many ways, especially in my own prayer life. And it caused me to suffer in my actions toward others, especially those on my team. Yet God was so faithful in using our team to bring many people to the Lord as we did programs and shared Christ with many of the local people. God is faithful. When we face storms in our life, even as we feel far from God, we must remember, as we see with Jonah and these sailors, that God is never far away. He may be gently whispering or shouting in a massive storm, but we must remember that God does not change. His sovereignty, his faithfulness, compassion, and love will not change. So may we seek the Lord through prayer, through his word, and abiding in Christ to be more like him. And when we hear his call, what will we do?